This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. I am Brian Kilby. It's October. Didn't we used to like do Halloween-themed episodes?
Not as such. Yeah. There was one or two times Diecast dressed up.
Yeah, but like back, even before Diecast was on the show, like when Rob Springer was on the show, we know that Rob.
Well, that would be Rob's influence more than anything, I think.
That's fair, yeah. But Rob Springer loves Halloween. I think we all love Halloween, but Rob Springer loves Halloween. One of the first things I remember about Rob was that he did like horror theater, like high end haunted house stuff years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, both Robs are giants. but like, just imagining like a very motivated Rob Springer with a hockey mask or something on, running at you in the dark. Not something that, you know. And Nani TF said, no need for Halloween themed. You're all scary enough. That's true. And of course, Nani TF is in our Discord, tfradio.net/Discord. So Rob's here, Chris is here, Diecast here, and Don is here.
Hello.
Don has faster internet. Don, is this the first? This is the first week in the new house.
Yeah. We've been here mostly since the Monday the 27th. We've been staying here since everything was pretty much over here, except for the stuff that we had a great pair of move. We had a great moving company help us, but there's of course all my stuff that I've got that I really didn't trust anybody to move it. Mm-hmm. So I was making runs in the truck in my Honda. Again, it's not that they didn't do a good job. It's just I'm, you know, carrying Lyokaisers and overlords and stuff like that. So
yeah. You know, not that somebody would have sticky fingers, but you wouldn't want somebody to, you know, take your Grand Max home and, you know, put it out and display like near direct sunlight. That would just be horrible. So
I mean I've kept him and Fortress pretty much in the, you know, as safe as possible, but it's just age yellowing too. That's just, there's nothing I can do about that. It's just age yellowing.
Yeah. John DeLuna, not here on assignment. Matt Melvar, not here on assignment. That's just radio or TV slang for I don't know where they're at.
Well, we know where John's at.
Matt's having internet issues. And John is parenting. His wife is traveling, mm-hmm. and he is solo.
Don't you let the TV do that? Just plop him down. And
you know, when we were kids, that seemed to work. For whatever reason, that doesn't work anymore.
Oh,
that's because TV is such lower quality than it was when we were kids.
Very, very possible. Very possible.
When I was a kid, I had Gilligan's Island and I Love Lucy to keep me occupied.
Incredible Hulk, Wonder Woman, Sanford and Son, MASH. That's all I needed. Three's Company.
Yeah, Three's Company.
Yeah.
I was also watching All in the Family at age 8, which was, in retrospect, probably not the best thing for my mental development, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I was watching Quincy, probably.
That's so done.
I mean, I like Jack Klugman in Quincy, but I mean, that's probably not a show a kid my age should have been watching.
Yep.
Yes, WKRP. Yes.
Oh, excellent. I love WKRP.
Oh, yeah.
WKRP in Cincinnati is the complete set on DVD, but I'm fine with that for old TV. Is at Walmart right now for like $50, and I am so close on pulling the trigger.
Yeah, I've seen that in the four ways they have up by the cash registers for months now.
Yeah, I've had rips of that for years, but it's not organized. I don't know that I have every episode. I just kind of like to have that.
Yes, Rufus, Night Court. That was a big thing for me when I was a kid.
I was like 8 when that came out. So, you know, by that point.
Night Court, Golden World is something I learned to appreciate later in life.
Yeah.
That wasn't a childhood watch.
Sort of like Perfect Strangers.
Oh, no, I loved Perfect Strangers when I was a kid.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I watched a lot of Perfect Strangers actually for first run.
Okay. See, when I was that age, and I was homesick a lot because of my asthma when I was a kid, it was game shows.
Price is Right.
That was my thing.
And black and white TV.
No, I had a black and white TV.
I had three black and white TVs.
But I mean, like,
our TV in the living room was black and white for years.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
You know, sell the century, hard sharks.
Color guns went up, but you know.
You know, other TV shows that I liked, Wild Wild West. Oh, God, I used to watch so much Wild Wild West. I loved it.
Cool. Hey, guess what? So there's Transformers stuff to talk about. Before we get to that, though, I want to plug our Patreon.
The show notes.
Yeah, I want to plug our Patreon at patreon.com/TF Radio. Just posted a new History on the Fives podcast. Rob is doing an excellent job with that. I'm super stoked to hear that every week now.
I am so glad to hear it.
Oh yeah, you're doing great. Yeah, you're doing great. And the guys really like you too. That was my only thing. It's like, oh man, I hope the guys gel well. It sounds like you haven't skipped a beat. So
I think it's been going pretty well. You know, I was kind of worried about that myself, but they you know, they said they've really been enjoying it. So I am really happy to hear that.
Yeah. So, that's a podcast that we have on our Patreon. It is exclusive to patrons, at patreon.com/TF Radio. And if you're a patron at our touched tier, you can actually be on the show. So just go to our Patreon and check that out. Also, last week, we posted the most recent episode of our podcast, RFC Throwback. And on that, we ranked our favorite, the RFC crew ranked our favorite Titans, looking back at the last 9 years, 8 years, and ranked our Titans from least favorite to favorite. And there's also a segment with me and my buddy Rick when we were talking about it's just sort of collector fatigue is not exactly the way to put it, but in a way it kind of is. It's just the state of being a Transformers collector and just having a nice feeling of completion with your collection. I almost feel like I've been there like three times now when it comes to Generations. So the Throwback podcast is sort of like our evergreen show where we can go back and look, you know, like basically at anything. It could be musing on favorite things. It could be talking about like collecting strategies or tips and tricks. It can be looking back at the history of things. One of my favorite segments that we ever did is on a prior episode, John DeLuna and I. I think it's episode 7. If you're a patron, you can go check it out. That podcast is also exclusive to patrons. John discusses his time as a licensee of Hasbro. Basically what it's like to license the Transformers brand for your product and what that process looks like. It's really interesting. So a lot of great stuff on that. And the Throwback podcast, we are for the next year, we are posting that twice monthly. Again, exclusive to patrons, and History on the Fives is weekly and exclusive to patrons. Patreon.com/TF Radio. And going back to our Discord, they're still talking about shows, and Frank mentioned Turkey TV, which I can hear the theme song in my head right now from Nickelodeon.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
I don't think I did either.
I don't remember it at any rate.
It was just like a collection of skits and shorts from probably something Canadian.
By the time we actually had cable and Dad would allow cable in the house, he felt it wasn't worth the money. The only thing on Nick that I watched was Danger Mouse and Count Duckula, really.
That came up in the Discord as well. And I'll mention one. John's not here, but John, one of the first things I remember about John DeLuna is he was selling bootleg tapes of the Mysterious Cities of Gold on Usenet in the late 1990s.
And oh, wow.
I loved that show. That was definitely a thing I remember from watching Nickelodeon back in the early to mid-80s. So,
My friend Paladin and my friend's Icon45 on Twitter is a huge Mysterious Cities of Gold fan.
There's a lot of people out there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like, you know, podcasts about it. John should start one if there's not. Okay. Again, tfradio.net/Discord. Let's see here. What else is going on? News. There's nothing really to talk about otherwise. Nothing else to plug. Again, Patreon's awesome. Really excited about our Patreon right now. Oh, and Captain Rufus posted a link to Mysterious Cities of Gold, a podcast about it.
Yeah, I watched that. Nick Nax goes through a lot of the Nickelodeon shows in order and does a deep dive on a lot of them. Danger Mouse, Mysterious Cities of Gold, the
Have
Tomorrow
they done the
People.
Adventures of the Little Koala?
I believe it was referenced in something I was watching, but I don't remember.
Until they do just don't even tell me about it. I don't care.
Yeah, I want to watch the one on Tomorrow People because my friend Fred loves
Anybody
Tomorrow
can
People.
Do a podcast about Pinwheel, or you can't do that on television. I want an Adventures of a Little Koala podcast. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Brian, what's in the news this week?
Hey, let's look at Star Saber, who is on HasLab. It funded last
week. Why do we have to look at it? It's never going to make it. Never mind.
So it's crossed 14,000 backers. It's almost to 15,000. Nice. Yeah, so it's crossed the first threshold for the shield.
No,
the gun.
The gun.
The gun.
Tier 1 unlocked. The gun and the blast effects.
At 17,000 backers, we get the infernal stand that we... Yeah, it'll hit that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? 20,000 that we get the shield and the MicroMasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have 4 days left.
It's got a good chance of making 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, it seems like to me, the stand is just, I don't know. I don't know what y'all think, but it just seems like the MicroMasters was like, yeah, I don't know. The stand is...
Oh, breaking news, guys. Breaking news in Discord. tfradio.net/Discord. Captain Rufus linked to the podcast episode for The Adventures of the Little Koala.
Oh. Excellent.
It was episode 61 of Knickknacks. Okay. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry. That was important. I had to break for that.
That's fine. It's just I don't understand why they thought the stand... would be this big thing to get people galvanized off the fence to back it.
That's a miscalculation.
And then they said, oh, by the way, here's matching MicroMasters.
I have a feeling it comes down to the whole economy of scale thing as to how many units it takes to pay for that much extra. It's not so much order to incentivize us. It's how many Star Sabers do we have to make to actually pay for this?
Rob, that's an excellent point.
And that's why we get the shield and the MicroMasters at the top.
Maybe they're just assuming that they're not going to hit 20,000. So like, oh crap, we hit 20,000. We're going to have to deliver the shield.
It's not impossible.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the blue maw.
You know, maybe it's me, but I would rather have Jean than the MicroMasters because that makes more sense to go a Star Saber.
It does. You're not wrong about that. But I'm sure you can see that, you know, taking existing MicroMaster molds and minorly redecoing them is a very easy way to pad out one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure there'll be, sure Dr. Wu did like the only human figures to give you a complete set, whereas the Fun Pub wasn't able to finish anything past RC and Rodimus. So I'm sure there'll be a matching Jean from a third-party company just so he can sell a Star Saber shoulder, if nothing else. Like Wheelie, but good.
I'm just excited that they actually included the two MicroMasters in the Tier 3 at 20,000 because we knew... the shield was going to be part of Tier 3 before it even happened. I assume that was going to be the only thing on Tier 3. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys. You gave me
that
a stand and then a shield. The two MicroMasters, at least it's something extra that I wasn't really expecting.
They were having to reach a little bit to come up with more than one unlock tier for Star Saber. So, like, you know, the V-Lock cannon and, the blast effects are kind of a throwaway thing, but, you know, that makes sense in one capacity. At the same time, though, that should have just been an accessory that came with it without being an unlock. But, like, spinning that off to make a stretch goal makes a little bit more sense. And then after that, it's like, okay, what else can we do? What do we have to work with this? So, you know, we get the thing with the stand, which is, like, the main... the crutch of Masterpiece, basically, when they need to pad out a price point. And when I was trying to brainstorm up some theoretical stretch goals after the campaign launched, because I was trying to like spin a little podcast segment out of, you know, what could we get for stretch goals for Star Saber?
Right.
I didn't get very far with that, but what I did come up with was, let's just repaint some MicroMasters to be the, you know, featured MicroMasters from Victory. And we ended up getting that. So, you know, I called one thing, but yeah, that as the last unlocked here, that just it doesn't feel like they're building up so much as just like filling in bullet points.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I still think we're going to hit like 25,000. That's the number I said from the beginning. I'm going to stick to it.
There was one other interesting thing that came out the last couple of days regarding Victory Saber, which is they put out a little video with Hisashi Yuki in it. And he was talking about the fact that he was happy to be working as the lead designer on this because he never got to make a masterpiece Victory Leo to go with the Star Saber he designed. And he was also he also confirmed something that had been going around on Twitter recently that I found interesting, which is that originally Star Saber was designed by a designer by the name of Kunihiro at Takara. But for the animation, the final pass on the design was by Kunio Okawara, who was the designer of the original Gundam and also went on to do the designs for the Brave series.
Yeah, Okawara did a lot of Gundam mechanical design. Like, he's a very well-known name in that circle. And to look at Star Saber, the animation model, like, yeah, people have been joking for years, okay, that's a Gundam. And as it turns out...
But I mean, Star Saber's so brave in its, you know, as far as like the transfer... you can see how they kind of got too brave with characters like Star Saber, and then...
Yeah.
You know, you can easily see how it would lead to the Brave stuff with the way it transforms, the way it combines, the kind of gimmicks that's built in.
Yeah, apparently when this first broke on, like, Japanese Transformers Twitter, the person who first mentioned it referred to Star Saber as basically Brave Number Zero. So, you know, yeah. There's definitely a lineage there.
Cool.
Okay. Now I want to see Star Saber in like a Brave style box, like at some point, just, you know, with the, you know, with the big, like the Korean style box with a big huge box.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The video with Yuki was interesting too, because he showed the original toy concept art, which, as he described it, was a lot more Diaclone leaning. And, like, you can see where one led to the other, but, like, it's an interesting departure from where it actually ended up, what they were looking at for the start point. Because it really did feel more like a throwback to, like, some of the pre-Car Robot Diaclone designs. It's worth checking out. It's on Hasbro Pulse's YouTube channel, and I imagine that concept art is probably out there on its own, too. But the video is only about 5 minutes long. It's worth taking a look at.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the... next item, this old news at this point, but last week was Transformers Tuesday week, basically.
Yeah.
Minus Friday.
Well, I mean, Friday kind of was, too, because that's when CBR had the first reveal of Unlocked Tier 3 for Star Saber, so that was kind of the conclusion to the week of Transformers stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we got Pterosaur, which I guess we knew was coming, you know, the next day.
Because we know everything, yeah.
Will he terrorize?
Yeah, he would. I think it looks good. I think there's some, I don't remember seeing many negative comments about the...
No, not really.
Yeah.
Now, this would be shared engineering with
Air Razor. But the thing is, like, it does have engineering in common. It also has new engineering because the Beast Mode works. Pterodactyl head folds onto the back instead of into the torso. And, like, the torso now looks like it's more of a solid unit than on Air Razor. So they had to change the engineering up some. But besides that, it's about 90% new parts. So it's very much a new toy that just takes engineering cues. You know, it's our increasingly muddy gray definition of a retool these days.
Yeah. No, I like it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really impressed with what they were able to accomplish starting from Air Razor to give us a Pterosaur. It's not exactly what I had in mind when I was envisioning what they could do with this, but it's really good what they actually pulled out of it.
Yeah.
All I want to say is I like the way the Pterosaur looks, but I really want to select Fractal and Pack Rat 2-pack. I think
We could even get something like another Target 4-pack, maybe not from Target, but something equivalent to like the World's Collide set. There's going to be a Predacon Inferno release next year. So, you know, you could get a 4-pack of Fractal, Pack Rat, Antagony, and Sandstorm, all from molds that we're going to have.
Dang.
All we'd really be missing at that point is a Bat Optimus Primal to turn into an Onix Prime or Onix Primal and just, you know, hit all the 90s BotCon exclusive notes, really.
That would be wonderful.
They could do the Titans Return or E-Hobby Convo Bat into that.
True.
Yeah. That would probably tick some people off. Actually, it'd probably make people happy.
Yeah, because it's
going to be different colors.
Because I haven't checked the prices lately, but Antagony, I mean, all those figures you mentioned are just absolutely through the roof as far as, you know, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there was only a few hundred of each of them made, right?
Yeah.
I think Onix Primal was the most numerous because you had a dealer's version that was in a different box. Uh-huh. And then you had a regular version that was in a different box. And there was a third version, I think, that was a draw. I can't remember because it's 96 and you block out 96 for the most part. You know, once you get cake and no water on a napkin, everything else kind of just falls apart. But I think there was a third packaging variation. But his figure was the same inside. It was just a different color cardboard.
There's the dealer exclusive. There's a stamp on it too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's the one I've got. So yeah, there's a little stamp on it that says like dealer exclusive actually might be what it says.
Yeah, I think Men in Black ended up having to buy like a ton of those Onix Primals because as I recall the story, like they were still selling them, their back stock of them at other conventions years later.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be an exclusive with their next convention, which really cheesed off a lot of us because this was a BotCon thing, and they already had plans to sell it at their next convention, like 2 weeks away at the same building or something along those lines. So yeah, it was a precursor to the BotCon 07 Seeker issue where it's not exclusive anymore.
Yeah. So any other thoughts on this one before we move to what I think is the big thing of the week?
No, let's get on track.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
He donned it again.
Uh-huh. So we have been talking now for almost a year. Like it was December of last year, right? When we first saw that.
December 2019?
Yeah. 2019?
When they were first talking about the Masterpiece Raiden thing.
Oh my God. So it's been almost 2 years now.
And then, yeah, I think around the start of this year, something like that, was the computer design model that got scanned out of one of the books.
Yeah. So Shuki, the leader of the train bots, is the first train bot that we have. This is an actual photo, it looks like to me. It's not a render.
Mm-hmm. So, no, it's a yeah, definitely a photo.
Yeah, so it's the first photo that we actually have of one, probably the only one that's to this point, honestly, if I had to bet.
Yeah, I would think.
But it looks nice-ish. It's not what I want.
It's not what you want?
It's not what I want.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons this isn't what I want. So Shoki is the first entry in Takara's new NPG Masterpiece line, with the G alternately standing for Getai or combination, Giant, and as I put in the news desk article, Gah at the price. So Masterpiece Shoki is at the list price of 18,000 yen, which at the current exchange rate is about $160. This is rather a bit more than we were probably hoping to spend overall on Masterpiece
Raiden. With shipping from Amazon, it is 19,800 yen.
Uh-huh.
Because see, the running theory, if I remember correctly, is that we were thinking they were going to be like the Constructicons. Chug, I hate using that term, but that, you know, a more basic
Voyager size.
Yeah, you know, simpler, larger figures like the Constructicons, and then because they consider Devastator a masterpiece, in, you know, from their standpoint.
Right.
So that's what we were thinking, but like, yeah.
Yeah, no, they seem to have gone full masterpiece with these. From the way they were presenting the concept in 2019, that's where we got a lot of what we were expecting this to be out of, but like, a lot of things have changed in the world since then, and, you know, they had a lot of time to examine things and like think, okay, let's go in a different direction with this, because that's maybe not how we want to handle this anymore.
I want a Masterpiece Raiden.
I don't want this Masterpiece Raiden.
But six pieces at bare minimum, 150 a piece at bare minimum. You're looking
Saying Raiden's going to be $1,000.
Yeah.
And so the thing, and the important thing here too, Brian made a good point at the start of this, which I want to go back to and reinforce. Shoki is probably the only one that is anywhere near this stage of development. We have not heard anything about Kaien or any of the other train bots whose names I can never remember without looking them up. But like the other five of them, we have no indication on their development status. And since what we saw at the same time we saw Shoki the first time was like a block model prototype of Skyfire, who is probably also going to be in this MPG line. Mm-hmm. It seems likely the next train bot's not even going to be the next release in this sub series.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be months before the next one comes out. So the $1,000 for Raiden assumes that all of the train bots are going to be the same list price and that the exchange rate stays the same the whole time from start to finish. If they take months and months to go from like number one to number two, odds are the individual trains are just going to get more and more expensive by the time they come out, and by the time this finishes, Raiden's going to be really expensive, even if it is like spread out over 2 years.
Well, now there is one possible way, I hope, and Brian can maybe work with this since he had the KO of it, and I've got the original.
I've got the original, and I have the KO.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You do. That's right. I'm sorry, Brian. I forgot. The two leg bots and the two arm bots are very similar as far as the transformation.
Yes, they are. I was thinking the exact same thing.
So it is possible Shuki is going to be on the higher end of the price spectrum because he doesn't really have anything. He is like the core combiner with the waist part, but the other ones may be cheaper because you'll be able to get, you know, basically four limbs. They can't scramble, of course, or at least they couldn't originally, but you've got a lot of reusable parts. They just have to change the cat. You know, there's some sculpting, but there's also a lot of the same transformation to make two legs and two arms. So there could be some cost savings there that we might see.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. So Shoki, I think, is the upper torso, and Kaien is the pelvis and thighs. But the other four, yeah, I mean, if they can even do just like paired engineering for the arm ones and the leg ones, you know, that would save both development time and maybe bring the total cost down a little bit. The counterpoint to that is if they do make the limb train bots, you know, as similar as they could be based on the originals, they might release them closer together, in which case you're still going to be paying a lot all at once.
Yeah.
So there's no winning here is basically, I think, what we're kind of dancing around.
So I think it was WillJack64 on Twitter was, you know, sharing some concerns about this. And I was sharing some concerns. And my concern was, I don't think this thing is going to come out. Like, you know, I think it'll take a forever for this to come out. Like, I'm worried about like 5 years. John, who's not here, is thinking more like 18 months. But that, being one quarter.
I'm kind of in the neighborhood.
What'd you say? So you broke up. What'd you say?
I'm kind of in the 2 year neighborhood with it.
You know, I think 2 years would be the plan. I think 5 years or 4 to 5 years is more like the reality of it. And at that point, like, I worry that they'll just give up because they don't care. And, you know, and if it does take 5 years, there's not going to be a consistent number of these things that are produced. So, like, you know, like, one will probably be more rare than, like, the rest of them. Maybe if the thing proves to be popular, like, the earlier toys will be, you know, less plentiful than the later toys. More likely than not, the later toys will be more less plentiful than the older toys, just as people give up interest in the thing.
No, but I hadn't considered Don's point before. So, you know, if his idea here is right, and they only technically have to design three separate toys, and then, you know, four of them are just, you know, retools of the other half of them, you know, that could really cut down this and keep them closer to something like a 2-year schedule.
And there's one other thing that's happened in the interim since this was announced, and now Studio Series Devastator, because they did, that may have been like a I know, but I'm just saying.
It's the same development system,
though. Yeah, so Takara may have been wanting to see how successful a multi-part combiner released over a period of time was received by the fans, to see if that was still a viable way of doing it. When you've got something as divisive as Studio Series Devastator, and there are people out there that follow that thing from first piece to last piece over the course of about 2 years, you're talking a very popular character in Japan as far as a known character, plus fans who want one of a combiner that they can't get any other way without shelling out a lot of money. Yeah, that may have had something to do with this.
Yeah, it's the same design, people. I'm not worried about the design of it. I think the design is fine. What I'm worried about is the wherewithal to actually see it through all the way to the end. And, you know, hopefully it is just three bots they're designing to simplify the whole process. It still feels, you know, kind of cheap for, you know, $200 per.
I want to say this got brought up, and I may have be late to this, but if they bundled the limbs, then they could get it out in four packages and might be able to do it in as little as a year.
But yeah, they don't shovel out masterpieces that quickly. I mean,
when they did,
we're in uncharted territory here, because this is a new subline with new motivations.
So actually, the masterpieces they do shove out quickly, though, are MPMs. MPMs feel like they come out more frequently than,
and these are priced along the lines of an MPM.
Yeah, so that's fair.
But also look at the QC we were having when they were really pushing out a lot of these masterpieces. The Hound's breakage and the issue with Ironhide, just in general, as these MPs were coming out quicker, we were seeing an increase in QC issues across the board.
Yeah, because they were having the parts manufactured in different places and not assembled until they were all in one location together, which meant there was not a way to properly QC the stuff as it interacted. Like, you know, it was a production mechanism designed for some expedient cost savings, but not one that was actually practical for making like a solid end unit. Studio Series Devastator is a great example for both sides of the arguments here. There is an interview from the Takara side of things about Studio Series Devastator talking about the challenge. They didn't have like the whole group specifically detailed and planned out. Like, they knew what characters were going to be involved and the broad strokes of what they looked like, but they weren't like going in advance and engineering all of them at the same time. So, you know, they start with whatever first one that was that came out, Poop Robot Rampage, I think was the first one. So they started with that, and then every new one they started doing, they had to basically work backwards and figure out, okay, how is this going to work with this one we already made, and where are we going to leave the openings for the next three to interact with that? Because it was something that was going to be over the course of like 18 or 24 months from start to finish, in terms of release schedule. So like, it was a very different kind of development process than it would be for any other project they've worked on. And that was like a specific challenge to them to actually get this to work. And the designer who was being interviewed actually, if I remember right, was actually expressing a little bit of surprise that it did end up all coming out and coming together the way it needed to in the end because of that weird design lineage. I think if the train bots do have the arms and legs sharing with each other a little bit. We'll find that challenge a little. Probably, and for something like this, they are looking a little bit more ahead. They probably have a more tied down timetable too, since they're not exactly slotting this into an existing other product line that has its own schedule to keep and other non-combiner things that they're working on. Like, we think right now that MPG is the Train Bots and Skyfire at this point. But, you know, even if Skyfire is a break between two Train Bot releases, it's still most of the first batch of these is going to be the Train Bot. So they probably have a few people working just on that one project and then another team working just on Skyfire. So it's all kind of locked down more. I think, you know, there's merit to what both of you are coming into this with in terms of your preconceptions. And, you know, the timetable, how it turns out, is a lot of wait and see. But I think Don's right that Devastator probably is informing a lot of how they're approaching the second try at a giant multi-release combiner. And like you're saying too, they're, you know, hopefully the motivation stays with them the whole time. Yeah. But yeah, if it takes a really long time, we could be seeing problems with availability, just like we had happen with the Studio Series Constructicons, where some of those toys were only around for a short time and were not particularly easy to find.
Hey, real quick, before we end this, when we were talking about the availability of the toys, not necessarily having a consistent number, etc., Action Figure Expert in our YouTube chat basically asked, you know, could there be a box set of all six when it's finished, like we like we have with Studio Series Devastator? And probably.
So expensive.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it'll just be ridiculously expensive.
I love these, though. They look great. They're better than I expected.
But the original toys are so simplistic.
How many of us have the original toys, though? I've never even seen the original toy.
Look at a picture. I mean,
I want to feel it.
It doesn't, but you're not, because that's not what this is.
I mean, I want this set. I really do, because I would love to have this character in a more, oh my God, I can't touch it, it'll fall apart if I breathe on it situation.
I feel more about that than the original toys.
But between the QC issues, the price, what Brian's saying about the availability and everything else, it just raises too many questions.
Don, you don't know it's going to have QC issues.
I don't think it's a far stretch, diecast, to think that it probably will have.
Look at all the QC issues we've been having since even before Masterpiece Hound, and you can look at most every Masterpiece in the past 2 years, and there's been a fairly common thread of this is breaking and under normal operations. So
I think that's any toy nowadays, but it's, you don't, and if you're worried about availability, just be one of the first people to order it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. You're not going to miss one of these figures if you get it when it's available, Devastator was in Studio Series. If you had the first couple, you know, if they're, sure to get it when it came out, you weren't going to have a hard time building Devastator.
How many third-party combiners have you and I specifically gone in on? and it's like, the first piece is great. This is pretty good. Oh, crap, what's happened? Oh, God, you're kidding me. No way. Yes.
Hey, wait, where's the fifth one?
Yeah.
That's the no way. Oh, but okay. I'm just saying, DotCast, yes, it's third party. Yes, it's different manufacturings, but the basic skeleton is there. If this thing has QC issues and you're already 3 out of 6 Train Bots in, do you keep going, hoping the last 3 at $150 a piece will pan out and the thing will at least stand? But we shouldn't have.
I'm making a really good point here.
but we should not have to say, well, that's just the way it is. For this money that we're spending, we need some quality.
I feel like we had this discussion about Unicron as well, that yeah, once you get into this this many zeros, the quality control should be better than we get at the at Walmart for $20.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I agree with you. I'm just saying we don't know that there's going to be QC issues with that.
Look at the track record. No pun intended. Yeah. I am not channeling Paladin on that one.
I think. Look at the track record.
Okay, so, Diecast, I'm sure we all want to share your hope that this will come out, you know, over whatever course of months it all comes out, and they'll just be fine, and, you know, none of them are going to, like, explode under the oppressive burden of their own physical existence. But, you know, not really the history, the pattern of history that we have with masterpieces even included here, but like a lot of Transformers stuff. Like, it's very valid to be concerned about this.
Because you've got something...
It's like when I close my refrigerator door.
People listening don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, all right, Diecast. Okay, I'm not trying to be a dead horse.
Into pre-show.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a dead horse, Brian. I apologize for going on with this, but this is something I feel like I need to talk about. When you've got a figure, I do not have Masterpiece Hound. Okay, I'll admit, I don't have it. I have Gundog. I'm happy with Gundog. But Hound is a very basic Masterpiece Transformer as far as it goes from one mode to the other mode. Okay, that's what happens. But there are pieces on it that break under normal, regular circumstances.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't had
now you're adding extra bells and widgets and whistles into Shuki for the combiner. You can't look at if they can't make Hound. That transforms. If it was one piece here, one piece there, it's random QC coming off the factory. We understand that. It is a widespread breakage issue.
I was in fear transforming that toy.
I sold my MP43 Beast Wars Megatron because I was too afraid to keep transforming it.
So the QC issues are there. There is a history of QC issues on figures that are even less than this, that is still a Masterpiece figure.
Or more than this.
You've established a pattern of behavior.
Yeah. Exactly. Although past indications do not predict future performance, there is a trend here. Going into this combiner is going to be delicate because I do not want to be, I got the first one, I got the second one. Oh, crap, the third one is not working right. The fourth one is it standing? So I don't know. Yeah,
we don't want an MP9 Rodimus in the middle of our Masterpiece Wrighton, I think.
Exactly.
I think it's a really short form of this.
That's very good, Chris. The tolerances, our flaming Winnebago is going to self-destruct.
I just have hope in a hobby that I like. I have to have hope.
I have to be realistic.
I agree.
Dude.
Can we make the show title dude?
You can't talk to me about hope. I hoped for 25 years that I would eventually get a Headmaster RC, and I finally did, and I am grateful for Hasbro for giving me one.
And it's a good figure.
It's not exactly what I wanted, I'll admit, but I love the figure. But you cannot tell me we should not be relying on hope for a $195 Masterpiece figure that I think you covered it.
I think we can move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
So we're not going to show it off because it is... There's
personally identifiable information. There's concerns. Let's put it that way.
It is called... personal information, PII, and I'm not going to disclose that, so I don't want to be held liable, but... yeah, a leaked slide from a Hasbro presentation made the internet today, and I feel bad, I guess, for the person that leaked it, maybe.
So there's been some discourse on Twitter over this. Like, I feel bad for the person who leaked it, especially since, again, their personally identifiable information is being redistributed around well outside their control. I also agree with the stance that, like, A, they shouldn't have done this in the first, they shouldn't have taken the picture that eventually got distributed in the first place, even if they thought they could trust the one person they were deciding to send it to show off.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
No.
So
it's confidential information for a reason.
Misplaced.
Yeah, like, I doubt that there's an NDA in place. I mean, well, actually, there might be. So this is something I have.
There probably is. Yeah, it's watermarked like that.
Well, yeah. So, and I was going to backpedal. So from, this is probably from a line review process. And from my time working at a corporate environment for retail, I know that there's no security on anything, almost anything, higher than what is shared at a line review, a product line review in corporate, when basically the buyers, merchandisers, et cetera, review the upcoming products that they could sell. There probably is an NDA in place. So he's probably not a good thing for the person that did.
No, this. I don't think so.
Yeah. So, funny enough, the company this person works for doesn't sell that crap.
Because yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to name any names. It's it's what we would have once upon a time, because they're a Market 6 retailer. So it's a smaller, like, it's major in that it's got a lot of penetration throughout the country. There's a lot of locations, but there's a lot of market power. Right. They are a much lower pricing tier. But at the same time, you know, this is not a presentation that's tailored for one specific retailer. You know, a bunch of them are on a conference call and they see everything, even if they're only going to, you know, make an order for like three specific things in a different product category than what leaked today. This is exactly the same kind of thing as the infamous Power of the Primes leak, which happened in, what, 2016, right? 2016? 16 or 17, yeah. Something like that. It's the exact same kind of thing as that, including with personally identifiable watermarking on it. And yes, it's unfortunate. It shouldn't happen, but here we are.
Can we redo the show that we just recorded? What was that? Was that the throwback?
You can add this in to the bottom.
Yeah, I want to change.
Well, it doesn't count.
I want to change my answer for the worst Titan figure ever.
I haven't looked at it that closely. Is it a model of the Titan, or is it just a photo of the original toy?
It's not the original toy. So when this first popped up and came to my attention in our Discord channel, tfradio.net/discord. And when it did pop up, there was a question about its legitimacy. So I immediately went to Google image search and started, you know, trying different terms to see, like, is this art asset something that already exists out there? I was looking for some way to basically debunk it as a fake. Unfortunately, I could not. So it appears to be genuine. It's either concept art or a really low res representation of like a 3D design model. It's not a physical product near as far as I can tell. The first visualization we had of the Ark was also an art asset, basically, and not a physical thing, if I remember right. So it would be about right for the stage of development this is in for there to not be a model prototype or anything. It's just whatever design assets they have right now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it is identifiably different from the original Transformers Cybertron toy, though.
So I had sort of misgivings about, you know, a Titan version of that character one. I'm just not a big fan of the design. But I have more misgivings now that I sort of see, like, mock-ups of it. On one hand, there is quite a bit of nostalgia for the Unicron trilogy. I mean, that stuff came out 18 years ago. That would have been 16 years ago.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, and so the people, there are plenty of adults with disposable income who will buy that.
Yeah.
So it might actually sell better than another G1 Metroplex. I'm not debating that. But I, at the same time, I could see myself skipping it, honestly.
That was pretty much my take on it right away. Like, well, I'm not going to complain about not spending $200 next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd rather have a title. If it was a tidal wave, I would be all over it. But like,
that'd be doomed for me. The thing to say about this is, like, we can really appreciate Generations is trying to be more than G1 again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's very little better reference to that, then that the biggest, most expensive price point for next year in the collector segment is a Transformers Cybertron character.
Yeah.
It's bad when in my head I'm going, I'll skip it. And if it shows up at Ollie's for $50, I'll pick it up.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, right. That's kind of bad.
I mean, I sold mine a few years ago because I just, it's a Cybertron mode.
Somebody bought that
thing that, yeah,
really?
It just folds up into this thing that looks like it'd be a ball. It'd be like a character in Jason the Wheel Warriors or something, painted green and vines and such.
I'm not even saying it to be funny. It seems to me like that would be something that would be like in a bin that you would get at a convention. Like that would be in a big Ziploc bag in a bin.
I sold it for like $20 in shipping. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
Sean in our Discord is absolutely right. He was like, the Omega Supreme train would have been.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, I would make a Sentinel. That's one that a lot of people didn't get a chance to get a hold of originally.
Yeah, that's a good
really
point.
Really final, like, configure.
Omega Sentinel in the same capacity that they're doing Black Zarek.
Yeah.
In the coming months.
And here's some for this Titan class. I would rather see a Primus because they did a pretty decent job at that leader class.
I hate that.
Again,
hate
it wasn't beat. Perfect.
Cybertron Primus was the Supreme, actually, equivalent to
Armored Unicron. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sorry. It was a Supreme. I forgot that size class. Supreme Cheetor ruined everything. but I mean, I would rather see them take a shot at Primus in this heavier budgeted Titan level than this. Because
well, everyone again, said Primus would not work at that price point. Now, did we mention yet that it looks like the price point is going up $20?
Yeah, $189 is the MSRP on it.
Yeah, which is whew.
I wasn't surprised to see that just based on the trend we're experiencing right now. There's also that impression that the Arc was going to be the last one because of price point issues with the Titan class. So continuing that on, it also makes sense that they would end up going up on that and seeing if that's going to work out for them.
So
I'm just surprised they didn't push it up like $10, which is their normal route. But things are like you said.
I mean, that's a normal route for lower price points. I'm certain has to scale.
No, I think Titans jumped up $10.
Okay.
They did. So Titans started out at $149.99, then went up to $159.99.
And then $169.99.
Yeah, they did do $10 at a time increments, but I think right now Hasbro is probably just being overly cautious and giving themselves some padding to allow for what the economic conditions might be, you know, late summer next year.
So we know that there's a process within the design team on what toys to design and produce. And, you know, I'm certain there are executive approvals and such that you got to go through beyond just, you know, the design team picking. But, like, I don't really understand how Titan Cybertron Metroplex bubbled to the top when, you know, other things haven't.
I was going to say that's what scares me. Does that mean we're going to get a bunch of Energon toys?
Cybertron, Energon, you know, Armada, there's a lot of stuff that I love out of those, but I just don't understand Metroplex being the one to go for. That would be, you know, I don't remember anybody ever really having any an affinity for this one. I don't know anybody that does.
Maybe as somebody far as on the design team is that one person.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Star Saber is a HasLab. It's a different thing. It's going to be hitting around the same time probably as this Titan, and the HasLab is $10 cheaper. I know it, but I just have that in my head and I'm like, something's not right.
Well, in terms of like, hey, look at this for a Titan, name wise, the Metroplex name carries a lot of weight, but this particular Metroplex, I would think they would do another King Starscream, a bigger take on the Titan, the Supreme class Starscream, because the Starscream carries probably more weight than Metroplex, and that size makes sense for that character at that point.
Does it?
I mean, I believe he did. He was a giant in the show at one point.
I don't know that. I don't know that there's enough cachet to that memory. I think, you know, people who have a casual understanding of Transformers, you know, the name Metroplex resonates somewhat. Starscream would resonate more, to Don's point. But, you know, in your mind, Metroplex is a big character. Starscream isn't, whether, you know, he was in the show or not. We were saying, like, an Energon Omega Supreme or something. You know, we just had an Omega Supreme. But again, I'll just say Tidal Wave. But there are other characters that, you know, we could revisit that, you know, could be huge. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a character that was a Titan. They could go back the route of doing another Combiner, you know.
Yeah, I can kind of see how they might feel like they were put in a box here, because, you know, the Unicron Trilogy Supreme figures, Unicron, they just did one of those. Primus, they're probably not going to do one of those that's significantly smaller than the Unicron they just did.
Right.
Omega Supreme, like you said, they just did. So that really doesn't leave a lot at this size except for, you know, Starscream and Metroplex. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titan class has been painting itself into a wall for a while already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on this before we move on?
I'm sad.
You're sad.
Okay. Yay, I'm saving $200.
Yeah, well, I guess I should look at it that way.
Well, actually, yeah. So, like, instead of buying Black Zarek and the new Titan next year, I'm still just buying one Titan for 2022. It's just going to be the repeat of last year's Titan.
And it's going to be early in the year instead of...
Yeah, that's not going to be fun either.
Okay. Did anybody get anything this week?
I skipped some things this week.
Don raised his hand.
Yeah, because I showed off what I got last week in pre-show before I had to leave. So off topic, let me change hands here.
Is it something somebody's going to care about, Don? No.
Yeah, off topic, I showed this off last week. I got the NECA Goliath, that I'm really happy with.
How's the QC on the face paint on yours? I've been seeing a lot of mixed bag on that.
How does it transform?
His eyes are
exposed to sunlight.
Yeah, the eyes look like they're a little kind of looking up, but, you know, I'm not quite sure if that's a paint issue or just the way I'm looking at it in this light here. The paint on the face looks good. It's just I haven't had a chance again to open him and pose him on the flight stand and stuff. So I got him. And, like, you know, I've said I'm not real big on the movie Iron Man suits, other than Mark V or V. But I did see the Infinity Saga Mark III, and at my Target, it rang up at $18.43. So either it was one of those, hey, we just got this in, let's clearance it, or it was a DCP I shared with another figure that was on clearance, which is about $6, $8 less than retail. And nice. It's not a bad looking suit. And it's, you know, other than the Mark V, it's early enough, it doesn't look like the rest of them. So I went ahead and picked that up. Last week, again, one of the ones I showed off in the pre-show before I had to leave, I got a Galvatron, and I think it's got the right shoulders.
Yeah, I think so.
It looks like it.
Yeah, so I'm going to take back mine that has the wrong shoulder. I don't know why that just bugs me about them shoulders. It's something very minor that shouldn't, but it does.
I understand. That's one of the reasons I haven't tried to get one online yet.
Yeah.
I have to figure something out.
And then today I found Sideswipe.
Huh, nice. I saw those today too.
Yeah. Sideswipe is probably my favorite movie bot. And I know this isn't a very big change from the previous one. But you know, I've always liked Sideswipe. So I went ahead and got that.
Is it because he's from the best movie?
He's because he's the best looking robot that doesn't look like a bag of knives.
Anyway, Diecast, this is the Revenge of the Fallen one, not the Dark of the Moon version.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said, Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah. And the unexpected thing I found today was Universal Studios Megatron.
Where'd you find that?
Interesting.
No, GameStop. He was just sitting on the peg hook. He still got the 48, but I can't really tell if you can't. Well, it's, you know, but it's Universal Studios. The
ride 3D.
Yeah. And his bio is Megatron wreaks havoc on Universal Studios. That's his bio. But I love the color on this. I love the gun. I just really like the way this figure looks. So I was glad to pick that up.
Rob, I don't know if you remember, the thing that wreaked the most havoc at Universal Studios was the fireworks that blew up way too
burned you.
Yeah, way too low. That was the worst part. Yeah.
Yeah, it took years to get that waxed out of that particular shirt.
It burned a hole through one of mine, and poor lady in the side office burned her eye.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Anything else, Don?
No, everything. Oh, yes. I forgot to bring it in with me. Thanks to whoever put the link on Twitter, to H Hasbro Toy Shop, I got Cyberverse Snarl. I forgot to bring him in here.
Cool.
Nice.
I can show it off. Anybody else have anything?
I do.
Okay.
I kind of donned it on one of the things. I wasn't going to get this Starscream, the Bumblebee movie Starscream.
Did you get it for like $5?
Kinda. It was on sale at Best Buy, and they sent me a $5 coupon that I had to use within so many days, and I didn't know what I was gonna get, so it brought it down to like $20.
Cool. Oh,
that's so good. I decided to, as Don would say, experience the mold.
Yeah, but probably I wish I hadn't bought mine, because I think the thrust colors looks a little bit better on that mold.
Yeah, but Don, at least you can wait and get that on discount when, you know, the massive piles of them don't go anywhere for a while.
I got a figure of my wife, She-Hulk. That's what we call her when she gets mad.
Nice.
So, that's a really great figure. Like, they did a really nice job with that. And I feel like I'm kind of filling in for Matt because he always talks about the Marvel Legends figures. So she doesn't stand very well, though. She falls very easy. I got some turtle frogs thanks to Charles Goodson. I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm sorry. On Twitter,
it's good to know,
helping me out getting these are the last two frogs. So now I have all four. And I really appreciate him helping me out because these things are impossible to find around me.
Well, now that's
especially with my work schedule.
Well, that's weird because I picked up, my Target had six of them, and I bought three if anyone needed them. And nobody on Twitter ever said they needed them. So I had to take them back and get them off my card. But apparently they're getting easier to find for a lot of people. But yeah, no one even wanted the ones I had.
Don, I mean, sometimes it might just be when you said it on Twitter, because I know I didn't see it. I mean, you know, not depending on the timing, I may or may not have said you may have gotten it first, and I may have said, yeah, right away. But like Brian said, he doesn't see all my tweets.
I see very few of them, actually.
Yeah, it just depends on when you tweet, yeah. I guess.
Well, it's also terrible. It's also what John has said about them ramping up production and trying to get more out there. So that that could be a thing as well. I don't mind helping anyone else if I can. It's just sort of weird to see turtle stuff sitting on the shelf, because I saw the Turtles versus Cobra Kai. I didn't even know that was a thing, and I saw them today.
Oh, they're out. I couldn't find Chrome Dome. I was helped out with that too. I couldn't find all the other ones before that. I actually, you know, eventually saw in store. I usually grabbed them from someone first because I couldn't trust that I would actually be able to find them. But yeah, they're I don't know. Around me, it's tough.
Let's face it, post-apocalyptic toy collecting sucks.
Yep.
Yeah, really does.
And this is the Batman Beyond Batwoman that I was talking about, just so I can show that on camera real quick. and that was a Target thing. Man, these things are starting to, I'm getting shipping notices like every day now, with some of these exclusives that are all starting to hit at the same time. So, but that, yeah, that's all I got this week.
Cool. Who else?
I got one off topic thing, but, I'm pretty happy with it. Last Thursday I got my PlayStation 5 and it is, yeah, it is pretty nice. I would not recommend to anyone else getting it for the reason I got it, which is to get better frame rate on a game I was already playing on the PS4.
Got mine to play games that I already have 3 or 4 times on other platforms. So it's,
but yeah, it's, you know, I will say that it does run the 2 games I was playing on PS4, Gundam Battle Operation 2 and Genshin Impact, both much better than even my PS4 Pro.
Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. The weird thing is in GBO2, it plays some of the weapon sound effects through the controller. I can turn that off if I want, but I'm kind of enjoying it in a weird way. But just the part that gets me is that the melee attacks, the sound of the swing plays through the controller, but not the impact. So it sounds really weird. It never sounds like you're connecting.
Does the sound playing through the controller have any effect on your game?
I'm sorry?
Does the sound coming out of the controller have any impact on your like game recording or the audio?
Probably we'll find out tonight if I get this week's mobile suit to do a live recording. But that is the one and only thing I got this week. So I'm pretty happy with it.
I find, you know, it's pretty huge. The console is ginormous. Mm-hmm. And I hate the shape of it. I would rather, there's not like a classic design philosophy when it comes to consoles. You know, no. They're all, you know, radically different, but I would prefer it, you know, if, like, honestly, while it's boring, I really like the Xbox Series X because it's flat and I can put other consoles on top of it.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, there is actually one other minor thing I got this week, which is I'm storing the thing horizontally because that's what I have space for. Mm-hmm. And so the stand it comes with is supposed to be universal. It's not really. It's made for the vertical storage. It has a nice screw to attach it to the stand for vertical storage. Horizontally, it's just got little pads that are supposed to attach to the back of it by friction and just kind of keep the, you know, whole like 2 foot across thing levitating on a stand that's like 6-8 inches across. So off of Amazon for like $12, I got a couple of stands that clip onto the ends of the thing, have nice grippy feet, keep it level and keep it still on the shelf, which is exactly what I wanted. So yeah, it is much better at holding up this bizarre humpback space taco than the stand that is included with it.
Yeah, like the original NES, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox Series X, the Xbox One S, and even, I guess, the Xbox 360. I like consoles that have a flat top where you can put more consoles on top of them. Those are mm-hmm. my favorites.
Yeah, it really is kind of comparable to the original Xbox in that, you know, if you're storing it horizontally, you can put things on top of it, but because of the slope, it's not really going to stay very well. Uh-huh. And yeah, it is, you know, for years, the original Xbox was a joke. But yeah, like we were talking about on Twitter, the PS5 is actually significantly larger than the original Xbox.
Yeah.
Chris Church says stand the PS5 horizontally, it's terrible for the air circulation.
Well, luckily it's on like a wire rack and with like space all around it. So,
oh, good.
It should be okay.
I have mine vertically because that was the only room that I had for it. So I had like, gotcha. I could wedge it between like 2 stacks of things. Chris, you have anything?
No, I skipped a bunch of things, but I don't have anything.
Cool. you know, we're not running too long. I'll just mention real quick. So I got my PS5. And Rob and I can compare notes later as I play games that I already have. So I like that. Other game-related thing I got is I got the At Games Pinball Legends Pinball table. And I already had an arcade 1-up table. which costs more than the at games. So if you're in the, if you're looking for a pinball, virtual pinball table, and you're looking at the at games or the arcade one up, I cannot recommend the arcade one up at all over the at games, just like the size of it. And, it's just the clarity of the screen, the flexibility and the versatility. To me, those are, just far and away, in the favor of the at games table. But I will say this, I had friends over for the weekend and they spent more time on the arcade one up Marvel table than they did the others, the at game. And I have no idea why. So don't listen to me.
So quick question about that, because I'm curious now, are there any like physical components in terms of like the table to either of those, or is it just basically a large fat, flat screen that like emulates a pinball table?
So a couple things. One, I mean, so you have buttons, obviously. You have a plunger on both for the plunger. Otherwise, the at games has a LED screen, a 16-inch LED screen on the back glass, and a 32-inch screen on the tabletop. The arcade one up has a 24-inch screen on the tabletop that's blurry by comparison. Mm-hmm. And then basically like a dot matrix LED 8-inch screen on the back glass. But both of them have solenoids internally that give you haptic feedback. So the flippers, it's like you feel it when the ball on the screen hits a pin. The cabinet itself, it's like a rumble feature, but it's really good and it's stronger than a rumble. And they both have an accelerometer in them, so you can nudge the table and just like so.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So toy wise. A couple things. I got the Cyberverse Snarl. He's nice. I mean, it's the same problems that you're always going to have with Cyberverse. Sort of the it's very hollow, simplistic.
Yeah, because that's like the Warrior class one. There's also a Deluxe class one in like the upcoming assortment, if you can ever find Cyberverse Deluxe toys again.
Yeah. But otherwise, it's pretty nice. Also, I found three of, I guess, four of the new Masters of the Universe figures, Trapjaw, He-Man, and Skeletor. If I were 7 years old, I would probably love them. They're okay.
I only caught the first episode of that, but it seemed pretty good.
I haven't watched it. I don't know that I necessarily care. I don't have any desire to watch it. Not that I have a problem with it, but I just don't have it in me to watch another series right now when there's so many years of stuff I need to go and watch that I haven't. Like Avatar and all that stuff.
It just seems there's weird there's not a female character in that first wave.
Is there not? Oh, okay.
See, that's what I was asking you is all I saw at my store when I was at that Walmart.
So you're asking me if a toy existed. I thought you were asking me if I found something that you were looking for.
No. I mean, I was just wondering because all my local Walmart had was one He-Man and a Skeletor. There was nothing else there. That's why I didn't know who the orange character was.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering if there was a female in that wave.
They all vaguely resemble the original Masters of the Universe characters. Apparently, we found out that one was Man at Arms, and I pointed out that Man at Arms looks as much like Man at Arms as this looks like Trapjaw. I mean, it. Generally speaking, it does. I mean, just like the high notes. But if I didn't know that was Trapjaw, just at a I might have to ask myself. Last thing I got, nothing major. It was the Henkei Ghost Starscream.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Which I'm betting will stay in that package forever. Where it can best be enjoyed.
It will never ever come out. Never.
Yeah, there was a knockoff going all around on one of those. On that particular figure, because I think I got one thinking it was real, and I think it was probably a knockoff, unfortunately.
This one has enough wear on the package where I'm pretty sure it's the original.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks
there are so many classic Seeker knockoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea, and I saw it and saw it was in package, and I was like, I typically associated knockoffs with not being in package.
Oh yeah, now they are. This one looks like it's been on somebody's shelf for a long time. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one's legit. Cool. Okay. tfradio.net/... So I can say it. Slash Amazon. Still there. You can use it. We'd appreciate it. Helps us pay for stuff. If you want to buy... If you want to have your Tigatron pre-order canceled like I did and Diecast didn't, or your Shadow Panther delayed, which now I have a new delivery estimate of the end of the month for that. So, but I've not found it at the store, so I'm still going to use tfradio.net/Amazon to buy it. You know, I sound like I don't appreciate Amazon, but I do. But, you know, if you want to buy, like, I don't know. I just ended up buying the Ash versus the Evil Dead entire series on Blu-ray. I got that like that same day, but I can't get my Transformers. But that's not what Amazon is for. Not necessarily not Transformers. It's for Blu-rays and toilet paper and crap you can't find at your local Walmart.
That's although I did notice Titan Class, the ARC was available for same day shipping in my area.
That's awesome.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that is awesome. I saw that actually. I think Rodimus is still available, or it was the last time I looked.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, tfradio.net/Amazon. And of course, I want to thank our patrons. I want to thank all our patrons. We thank you. You're awesome. Please, if you're interested in being a patron, join us. Patreon.com/tfradio. We're producing a lot of extra content for patrons. And if you're a patron at the touch tier, again, you can be on History on the Fives each week with Rob. And I might do an upcoming episode, make it like a free to everybody episode come join us deal. Maybe next week, talk it over with the guys. I'll mention it in our chat to see if anybody would have an issue with that. And if not,
do a History on the Fives Halloween special, make that the free preview episode.
Ooh, I like that, Chris.
Hey, good plan.
Yeah. They're watching right now, but are listening.
I am smart.
You are smart. But I'll bring that up.
I look for things.
Yes.
Things to make us go.
Yes. But I want to thank our patrons at the touch tier. You get mentioned every week. Kevin Dorsey, Ryan Bona, Emmett Stresovich, Rabbits, Hector Bones, Ness, Joey Russell, Jason Hiley, Mike Mallory, Jay Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Boomer, Sean Bratton, Spider Bob, Black and White, Now in Color, Frank. Nate Wilson, Sabertron Toys, Pal Tyrell Gwynn, Paul Schreiber, and I think new this week is Sterling. So thank you all for joining up. So the cool thing is, I think we have more people at that tier than any other tier, which is awesome. We appreciate you all. We have other tiers besides that one, but if you want to join at that one, that one's great. That's our highest tier. Leaving money on the table is the lowest tier. That's a Donism. What's the middle tier? I always forget the name on it.
Matrix something?
Matrix Bearer, yeah. Yeah, that is the... I'm doing a great job plugging this. Matrix Bearer is the middle tier. Like, you know, the thing
you are doing a great job plugging this because you're focusing on the highest price tier, which is still really reasonably accessible and, you know, gives a lot of potential reward back to the patrons.
Yeah, compared to a lot of podcasts where they have, like, ridiculous, like, multi-$100, you know, top tier.
I mean, even where, like, the desirable tier is, like, $15 or $20 per month, there's YouTube shows that are basically equivalent to podcasts that I am aware of where I look at their Patreon pages and, like, the kind of stuff we're offering, they're, like, way more for and giving way less.
Yeah. So, patreon.com/tfradio.
We should charge more, I think, is what I'm saying, but we won't.
We won't. We won't. Yeah, so we had like a Patreon consultant help us set this up, they said don't have more than three tiers, and I'm like, really? They're like, really? So I thought about adding another one, but I'm not going to. Three tiers is enough. Patreon.com/tfradio. Let's see here. John DeLuna is not here. He's at that John D everywhere. Rob Springer, you know, we miss Rob. Rob hasn't been on the show in 35 years. Rob hasn't produced a podcast for us for about a year now.
When when was the last time he was on RFC?
Like 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I need to see if I can get Rob to dedicate some time for like.
Take a vacation day and just like be on once.
Oh, he's not going to come on. His schedule never works out that way.
Well, that's why I said take a vacation day. Well,
he's not going to. Those are rare. But I am going to check with him, maybe, you know, see if he can do like something for the throwback. That would be wonderful. That really is more suiting to Rob anyway. That's like his sweet spot. That's actually kind of, throwback is very similar to the podcast that he produced for us, or podcasts. I'll contact Rob and see what if he can do something. But he's on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer and at zonebase.org. I'm on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And yes, even though I realize that Instagram is owned by Facebook, I've more or less dumped Facebook. More or less. I have gone through a complicated series of steps to deleverage Facebook. Haven't gotten rid of it, but I'm cutting way back, and it is wonderful. Wonderful. But yeah, so you can, I'm trying to use Instagram more. And if you see me post on Facebook, hopefully it just means that I posted something to Instagram. It got pushed to Facebook. But also, you can find us at tfradio.net. Basically everything is there. If you're going to watch us on your TV, you can go to tfradio.net/Roku. If you have a Roku and install it right there. We're on Twitter at TF Radio, Instagram at TF Podcast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And I'm going to record another podcast this weekend that can be found at briankilby.com. And we're getting close to Christmas, which means I have basically 2 months to finish my Christmas album for 2021. And I always give away that for free again at briankilby.com. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
Personally on Twitter, I'm at ChrisRTXV. Just recently I was posting some funny Star Trek screen caps, like Worf's bag of Jurassic. For toy photography stuff, you can either find my works collected at playwithphotography.com or for random stuff on social media at playwithphotos on Twitter. If you want to throw some support my way for the work I try to do, patreon.com/playwithphotos for as little as $2 per month. And I have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist so that you can inflict random acts of kindness upon me.
Cool. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. Like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast and something, something, something.
Darkside?
Yeah. Watch reviews at tfradio.net/reviews and something, something.
tfradio.net/diecast list if you have anything on there right now.
I think I do.
Hey.
I forget about it myself sometimes.
So, like, no joke.
I think it's funnier that Chris's internet was clearer for, you know, helping Diecast plug his stuff than it was for him plugging his own stuff.
Maybe I should just quit.
So, Jay Nightsword in the Discord said, hey, what about the RSC trading cards? Jokingly, but seriously, for folks at the touch tier who have ever been a patron, I am going to get those out eventually. I think Chris still needs to make his. Design his because he wanted to design it. Otherwise, I think I'm just going to do the design myself and print them.
Oh, I thought we kind of had turned the corner on the me designing it. Thinking about you were just going to do it all.
I'm just going to do it all then. So I'm just going to do. I'm just going to finish off the cards and do those and send those out.
I took the photo and sent it to you, assuming that you were just going to like roll with it and do your thing.
Okay, my goal now is I'm going to try to get those out by the end of January. Okay. Get a sticky note, end of January. That's my goal. Yes, okay. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Cool. And Rob.
I can be found on Twitter at Figure Reviewers or Rob Flails. Rob Flails is the Twitter for Flail Throughs, my YouTube channel. I cover mostly Gundam video games, and next couple of weeks, that's all about to get a good bit prettier. But, if you want to check it out, youtube.com/flailthroughs. And if you like what you see there, patreon.com/flailthroughs will let you throw $2 to $4 a month at me to request specific mobile suits in either Gundam Battle Operation 2 or G Generation Genesis. And if you'd rather just, you know, throw heavy objects at me, I say heavy because there's a fair number of books on there at the moment, tfradio.net/claylist.
Cool. Did I miss anybody? Is that it? Nope.
Okay. I think that's everybody.
We will see you next week. Have a good one.
Don, can't you be found at your new house? What's the address of that?
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.